every Arizona homeowner's best friend for 30 years.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House.
Well, I'm riding along, singing the same old cowboy song.
And good morning and welcome to Rosie on the House, every Arizona homeowner's happy place, where we take the first 4 hours of your Saturday and melt away your fears or anxieties about home ownership, maintenance, or remodeling. But as you know, in the 7 o'clock hour, we get to talk about anything I want to talk about, and it very seldom has anything to do with home improvement. And we're going to cover a big topic this hour with a repeat guest that we always get a tremendous amount of positive feedback on, Dr. Sky. Good morning, Dr. Sky. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Rosie. Good to be in the house, on the house.
You betcha. First couple times we had you on, we covered something about your topic that we haven't covered the last couple times you've been on. And I know this is hard, folks, on Saturday morning to get your head around this. It's hard any time of the day,
yes,
any day of the week, to get your head around this. Dr. Sky, how big is the sky?
Well, the word is astronomical, and that's a poor choice of words on Saturday, but to have everybody continue to scratch their head this early Saturday morning, you look at the entire creation of the universe, according to cosmology, the simple answer is some 13.5 billion years ago, there was this infinite tiny point, like if you had a laser point and you shined it on the wall, it expanded. So the simple answer would be this, 13.5 billion light years out would be the end of the expansion bubble, as we call it. But then you look at the other side of the expansion bubble, so multiply that by two, so you're well into the 30 billion light year stretch, as if you looked at a big beach ball, and we're in the middle.
That's the known
universe. From what
universe.
We know. Correct.
From 13 plus 13, right, 26.
26 light billion.
Billion.
Right.
Light years.
That's correct.
From end to end.
Right. And it's still expanding.
So if I wanted to do a little starcation,
yes,
and I built a ship that could travel at the speed of light, I'd be on this staycation 13 billion years just to get to one direction of the end?
That's correct. Just to get to the one, let's say one side of that ball.
And what's the speed of light?
We're looking at a number, and I'm going to make it the easy way first. Light travels, Rosie, in 1 hour, some 670 million miles per hour, or 186,282 miles per second. That's the hard one for people to grasp, no matter even if you're in the science field. So I like to say, in 1 hour, if you took a laser and shine it out into space, if it could go that far, it would go 670 million miles in 1 hour. That's the speed of light. So if you were on that light beam, you'd go 670 million miles out.
Well, that's going to be the key, not a ship.
No.
We got to find a way to ride the light beam.
We sure do.
Yeah.
We sure do.
That's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough because even probably 200-300 years from now, people are saying that whole idea of being able to travel at the speed of light. Einstein, in the many great calculations that he did, both special theory and general theory of relativity, he basically said this, that you really can't go faster than the speed of light because what happens is you become such a massive object that, you know, without dot, 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 you would literally destroy the craft and it would not be able to happen. So that's kind of like a finite, Einstein set up what we think is a finite speed limit.
Okay.
Like if we say here on our Arizona highway, 75 miles an hour is the posted speed limit. Einstein basically said that particulate matter, at least in the physics that he was talking about, cannot exceed this particular speed. But there's other arguments to that way down the road. If you look at this whole study, if you get into the quantum mechanics, there are ways that theoretically particles could move that way. But gee, Rosie, on this beautiful Saturday morning, imagine traveling 670 million miles in 1 hour. That's incredible.
And you don't even have to ramp up to that.
No.
I mean, you don't even have to go through gears.
No.
It's just instantly moving that fast.
Faster than a Tesla car, which goes with battery power and seems to be one of the fastest off the block.
Yeah.
Just as regular conventional motors.
So, folks, we're taking you on a 13 billion light year tour just this morning right here at Rosie on the House with Dr. Sky. Okay, so let's bring that 13 billion light year galaxy, universe, whatever you want to call it, back down to our size, and let's just scratch the little surface of what we can see with our feet on terra firma.
Absolutely, Rosie. It's a privilege and honor to do this, because this is the part that gets me so excited. There's originally back from the New York area. The light pollution is so overwhelming. But here in the nighttime sky in Arizona, it's kind of a treasure chest. It's like a little treasure tour. You can go out there, treasure find. Here in our Arizona skies, let's just take this particular month. If you look out to the southeast just after sunset, you will see low in the sky this blazing diamond object. It's the star Sirius. It's the brightest object we know other than the sun, the brightest star. And get a load of this. It's only 8.6 light years away. So putting that whole concept of light speed.
That's pretty close.
It is. So it's like the light left in October of 2009. So think about what we were doing in October of 2009. And most of us don't remember. But the point is, the light from Sirius that close left then. So the light that you see now, obviously just look at the year, 2018, minus the distance of the star, and you get when theoretically the light left. But I point that out, Rosie, because it's the most fascinating object in the sky. During the time of the Egyptians, they wrote, and also the Greeks, Hipparchos, one of the great astronomers, he wrote that this star we call today a beautiful blazing blue diamond was actually red. And we don't know why and what happened over 2,600 years. There's changes. And not to do the physics and astronomy class here on your show, but I think this is important for people to know. The bluer the star, usually the younger it is.
Okay.
Usually the hotter it is. Redder stars tend to be less in temperature, less temperate, and they also, in many cases, are the end evolution of stars. For instance, you look just past Sirius, and you look up in Orion's belt, and the star, which has the funniest of all names, because everybody knows it, the armpit star, the big orange supergiant, is called Betelgeuse, and we know that name.
Right.
That star, Rosie, 600 or 700 light years away, if you were to look at it, it's in the death throes. It may have already exploded. But that particular star, if you took the size of a tennis ball, that would be the sun. This star Betelgeuse, and let me get my information correct here, would be the size of about a 4 or 5 story building in comparison to that tennis ball. So it's amazing what you see. So our skies are so rich. The stories are so amazing. But Rosie, if everybody listening, and I'm sure there's so many that love this, and I appreciate being on your show, that just the ability to be in Arizona, we're blessed, aren't we? We're the most amazing place. And even though many cities, I just found out that Fountain Hills is starting to do a big celebration in April. They're becoming a dark sky city.
Yes, amazing. I saw that.
That's as close to Phoenix as what? The bird would fly, what, 20 miles maybe?
Yep.
So there is hope for the night sky, and there are people out there that are trying to preserve our great legacy.
Oh, well, we had the historian from Lowell Observatory on just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
He was just talking about how Percival, you know, left his estate back east and just traveled until he found this hilltop that he thought were the perfect place to build the observatory. Great story.
And the interesting thing is, too, in college, the professor that I had was Clyde Tombaugh, who was the discoverer of the most controversial thing, the planet, as I call it, but obviously the world calls it a dwarf planet, Pluto, right here in our backyard.
Discovered right there at Lowell.
Yes, back in February of 1930. It was amazing.
Mm. So that's how big the topic is. We're here on planet Earth. Our microscopes that I could buy and put up in my backyard, how far can I see with that?
If you had a small, and I'm going to be very basic here, if you had a little 3-inch refracting telescope, these are the ones that you find at most of the big, you know, mega stores, and they probably cost less than $200, you could peer out into the universe and see a galaxy in the sky. Get a load of this. You could see it in binoculars, too. And it's in our January skies, the Andromeda Galaxy, which if you were to go into the darkest of skies, the apparent diameter of this other galaxy, not the Milky Way, is larger than the diameter of the moon, the full moon. But get a load of this. It's 2.4 million light years from your eye. So you can see that in even the smallest of telescopes.
Wow.
I live in Chandler. My lights, my skies are orangey, you know, with the polluted lights. But I still have some decent nights. So there's a lot of hope out there. So even a small telescope, Rosie, you could peer out. And maybe that's not the entire story. You could probably see some other galaxies that are even 10 or 20 million light years away. Isn't that incredible?
That is.
That's a long time ago.
Just to put your mind around the distance that really, really is.
It's just literally. I mean, we use the term astronomical, of course, in other venues and things, but it's just mind-boggling. And again, Rosie, it's so wonderful because your show, the legacy that you and your family have created here, talking about all this integration here. I see that you have Sue Black on with the state parks.
Yes.
Wonderful. I mean, what a beautiful place. And listening to her, you get enthused just hearing about what's going on in the parks. So, folks, as you're listening on Saturday morning, you know, you've been here a long time. Rosie, you're navigating our starship here and telling people all about this good stuff. We're just blessed. So there's a lot of things you can do and see.
Well, we're here with Dr. Sky, and we're talking the big, big topic of the sky and what we can see and how we can see it. And what is it? I mean, this story of changing color of a star.
Yes. Why?
That's
happened?
A real story.
It is, and it's amazing.
Leaves a lot of question marks.
You bet, because the Egyptians, and again, we're now discovering, think about this, just recently, in this month of January 2018, we're hearing that through thermal imaging, they're looking at these great pyramids, and they're noticing that there's tombs and rooms inside the pyramids. Not only were some of the pharaoh's chairs carved out of solid meteorite, but the whole story about that's another great story.
Oh.
How did they carve out of nickel iron from space? One of the daggers, I believe, was also made out of pure meteorite. So my point is this. During that time, 2,600 years ago, let's say, we're looking at this most amazing technology. How did they build those? Some say they got in, you know, they were helped by other than Earthlings. Isn't that amazing?
Well, you could almost believe that if you go to Meteor Crater and yes. look at that little piece of meteor and figure out what kind of blade would I need to even etch a scratch into that thing.
Wow.
Absolutely
amazing
incredible.
Stuff. Totally.
Man, it is. You've got some events coming up that the public are invited
sure.
to that I'm going to want to get to. But
absolutely.
We're going to need to take a little break here.
You bet, Liz.
We'll come back and we'll be visiting some more with Dr. Sky and just exploring his 26 billion light year universe topic.